710 ESPN. This is Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa.
4 seconds remaining. Ball's into Anthony Davis.
All right, Kyle Kuzma, take us through what you saw on that last possession.
It was a play that we ran in practice a few times. You know, coaches called it for me.
Looks like Davis hands it to Kuz. 3 for the win. He got it! Kyle Kuzma hit the 3. There are 0.4 remaining in the game. And unless the Nuggets pull off a miracle, Kyle Kuzma's just beat him.
Your city, your station, your Lakers.
The funny part is I told Rook, calling game, I hit it, so it's funny.
23 in the game for Kuz, and what a night for him.
You know, it's just a lot of work that I put in during the quarantine, and it kind of just paid off.
Lakers talk is on. Lakers talk is on. Here's Alan Sliwa.
All right, Kuz getting some love right there. Lakers got one more game left before this postseason starts, which I think is going to be about a week from today. I got a feeling that Lakers would play on a Tuesday, not a Monday. Nothing official. We won't find out until that play-in tournament is all said and done. I think everybody's ready for the postseason. You know, I think if you're a Lakers player, if you're part of the coaching staff, you have accomplished such great things in 2019-2020 season, but it's been such an awkward season. And even coming back and the restart, everybody's under the same circumstance and predicament and situation. But for the Lakers, once you locked up that number one seed, which, by the way, what does it really mean? Locking up the number one seed this season, you don't have home court. Everything that you push for to have 7 games at Staples Center between Lakers and Clippers where you felt like there's going to be home games where 99% of the fan base is yours, and then there was going to be road games where 75% of the fan base was going to be yours. That was a big part of the Lakers' game plan, and I'm sure they were depending on that to help them get an NBA championship. Instead, you get the number one seed. You play in a neutral site in Orlando. There is no fan base that, obviously is going to be there to help you in critical situations. You're playing against teams where it will benefit them to be at a neutral site, teams like the Clippers and so forth. But this is a situation, this is the predicament, and I don't think there's a basketball fan out there that doesn't appreciate what the NBA has done. Speaking of some appreciation, how about this? Funch is texting me this story a little bit earlier. He said, this is coming from CBS, August 24th, CBS here in Los Angeles, August 24th is now officially Kobe Bryant Day in Orange County. So Orange County supervisors voted Tuesday to officially declare August 24th as Kobe Bryant Day. Orange County Board Chairwoman Michelle Steele, she said, she was quoted as saying that, by the way, Kobe, who lived in Newport Beach, was a treasured member of our community who inspired so many men and women to pursue their dreams and never give up. So I thought that was cool news. So if you guys didn't know that, 8/24, August 24th is now officially Kobe Bryant Day in Orange County. Can we get that up here in LA? I think that that's a fantastic idea for Orange County to obviously do that. And Kobe, who lived in Orange County, it's been over 6 months since the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant, and 7 other members who were in that helicopter tragedy, which is crazy to think that 6 months have passed by. And, it could be 20 years that pass by, and none of that will ever sink in, for anybody. It will always be, one of those shocking moments in our lifetimes. I did mention, as far as top NBA stories, I want to get into a few different stories right now. So I know everybody saw this. Portland Trailblazers and the Phoenix Suns potentially have a chance to play each other. And Devin Booker has taken the Phoenix Suns to a 7-0 start in the Orlando bubble. And it's pretty amazing to watch what Devin Booker's doing, what Damian Lillard's doing, and this could potentially be a matchup in this reseeding. But I'm going to read off a quote from Draymond Green, and I know a lot of people have probably already got a chance to listen to this or listen to Draymond Green, but I want to kind of – I got my own thoughts on this. Draymond Green was talking about Devin Booker. He says, "It's great to see Book playing well and Phoenix playing well, but get my man out of Phoenix. It's not good for him. It's not good for his career." Sorry, Chuck. He's talking about Charles Barkley. They got to get Book out of Phoenix. I need my man to go somewhere he can play great basketball all the time and win because he's that type of player. He was eventually fined by the NBA. I think fined $50,000. That came out yesterday that he was fined $50,000. So just to kind of stay on that one for a quick second, here's Draymond Green, who's an incredibly outspoken basketball player. We know the way he plays basketball is purely passion. It's not like he's the most talented player in the league, but it's his energy, it's his passion. That's what's got him that $100 million contract that he last got. That's what's helped him get a few NBA championships, and he's been a key piece of that Golden State Warriors team. I know there's certain things you can and you can't do on TV, and I know there's certain things you can and you can't do as an NBA player, but let me just make this quick argument for Draymond Green. If he's on TNT and he's on a TV platform that's asking for his honest opinion, that's part of his job, is to give his honest opinion. And I respect it. You know, I think that's what makes Charles Barkley so great, Shaquille O'Neal. These guys are not afraid to just say what's on their mind. This is what they think. This is how they feel. And they roll with it. I respect players or analysts that Stan Van Gundy is another one that comes to mind, or Jeff Van Gundy, another one that comes to mind, Mark Jackson. I love when they speak their mind. I know it's unique because it's a player. But there's got to be this kind of line that if you're going to have him go on inside the NBA and he's going to be on TNT, you got to let him speak his mind. It'd be one thing if he was saying, Book, why don't you come play for the Golden State Warriors? We got room for you. We're going to move Clay to the three. Steph is going to be the one. You're going to be the shooting guard. He's not doing that. So I know it's a fine line for the NBA, but at the same time, he's right. He does need to get out of Phoenix. That's one of those franchises that you're never going to be successful or win an NBA championship or anything like that. And that's not a knock on Devin Booker. And that's not a knock on Phoenix. That's not a knock on Arizona. That's a knock on the organization. And that's really what Draymond Green was saying. Ultimately, that's what he was saying. There's a lot of teams like that in the NBA. There's a lot of teams like that in sports. There's a lot of corporations like that. Certain places, you have better chances to win. I wasn't crazy that they fined Draymond Green. If you're going to fine the man for speaking his mind, then you're pretty much asking him not to be honest when he goes on some of those platforms. Joey Ramirez, who handles the digital content for the Lakers, he's coming up next. We'll get a chance to talk about this Lakers team, talk about what we could see coming up postseason-wise, and just get his overall thoughts on the Orlando bubble. How is he enjoying these basketball games? Because you don't have to just enjoy Lakers basketball in this bubble, and it hasn't been, you know, the most pleasant. It's not like Lakers are playing flawless by any stretch of the imagination, but you can enjoy a lot of this competition that's out there. Joey Ramirez coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa.
You're not considered a great until you're winning championships.
Your home for Lakers basketball on 710 ESPN.
We all know there's only one thing that matters for the Los Angeles Lakers. It's to get to the NBA Finals or win an NBA championship. Anything short of that, it's going to be a lost season.
Your city, your station, your Lakers. Lakers Talk is on. Here's Alan Sliwa.
All right, we'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Quick update here, just to give a score. We got on the TV to my left here. Dodgers down 6-1 to the San Diego Padres, but still in the fifth inning, bottom of the fifth. Still opportunities for them to come back. Want to welcome in Joey Ramirez. Joey, first, a good friend, also handles the digital content for the Lakers. Joey, what's going on, man? Thank you for being a part of the show.
Alan, appreciate you having me on, man. I know that you're as psyched as I am that we are about 1 week away from Lakers playoff basketball for the first time in 7 years. So I'm happy to talk through this, man.
No, hey, listen, Joey, I know we've got plenty of opportunities at Staples Center. We can't cross paths without stopping and just talking basketball in general. So you go 4.5 months without any basketball, obviously without Los Angeles Lakers basketball. Give me your thoughts, Joey, just getting this restart, the bubble in general. We'll talk about Lakers in just a second, but what's it? Is it surpassing your expectations? Did you kind of have this vision of, okay, this is what it's going to be like? Is it surpassing it? Is it exactly what you thought? What have you thought of just the entire restart to the season?
Man, you know what? It feels like, you know, that first part of the season felt like we were at this all-you-can-eat buffet. Everything's great. The NBA season's awesome. The Lakers are at the top of the Western Conference. And then all of a sudden, the buffet shuts down and you're not eating for a week. And so I got to say, first and foremost, just having basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically Lakers basketball, but basketball in general, being back. Oh, man, it feels like we're back at the buffet. I think that, you know, you can evaluate this bubble from two standpoints. One is, you know, the safety that they put forth out there in Orlando. I think that they've, you know, by every measure, aced that. Still no positive COVID tests out there, knock on wood, that stays the same. And then there's the product on the court. And I do think that I mean, we've had some exciting basketball, and I know Lakers fans right now may not be they might be a little bit of jitters heading into this postseason, given that it has been a slow start out there for the Lakers. But if we're talking NBA in general, I mean, we've had some fun stuff coming out. We've had these Suns that are 7-0 to the surprise of literally everybody following the NBA this season. Dame Lillard putting up Wilt Chamberlain stats out there.
Oh, what's Dame done? He's done nothing.
Well, if you're a basketball junkie like me and Alan, man, we're back at the buffet. It's great to see it, and hopefully we have a Lakers main course coming our way starting next week.
Well, Joey, so let's stay with Dame for a quick second. You know, an incredibly impressive run, and a lot of people were talking about the Portland Trailblazers, even just coming into the bubble, they were going to get healthy. Dame's a guy that can go off for 50, which he did two games ago. He could go off for 60, which he did just a couple hours ago. If this first round matchup is between the Lakers and the Portland Trailblazers, certainly a Lakers team that's used this bubble to just kind of run through the motions, where Portland, they have every game has been a playoff game for them. How much do you think that momentum of Portland just trying to get in and being a part of the dance and the Lakers not really having anything to play for in this bubble can have some kind of impact in the first round?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question, Alan, because I know there's been a lot of talk recent years about, does momentum actually exist in sports? Is it kind of more a figment of our minds? I tend to be in the camp that momentum does matter. And so I think that if you are a Portland Trail Blazers, a team that's coming in trying to lock up that 8th seed or at least a spot in the play-in tournament, or not really a tournament, play-in weekend, I suppose, it certainly does not hurt to have a guy who's dropping 45 points one night, 51 the next night, and then 61 tonight. So all credit to Dame Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers. I definitely think that does put them higher on the Lakers' radar, knowing that they do have the win behind their backs. But to your point that you actually kind of just made right now, Alan, the Lakers have taken a completely different approach with this restart. They haven't necessarily been trotting out their playoff rotation. I think we can both agree that many of the lineups that Frank Vogel has been putting out there are lineups that we won't see in the postseason at all, unless maybe it's the end of a blowout game. It's nice to see Talen Horton-Tucker, the rookie, go out there and you know get his first buckets in the NBA and kind of give some flashes as to what he can do. It's nice to kind of have Jared Dudley there to soak up some minutes, provide that veteran leadership. That's all great and well, but we're not going to be seeing that in the playoffs unless something goes very off script for the Lakers. So I am curious to see kind of that stylistic approach. And Alan, I want to throw this back to you. What do you make of that difference between using the seeding games as kind of a ramp to get into your playoff momentum versus kind of trying some new things and maybe not getting too invested into these games that ultimately count for the regular season standings and not really much more?
Well, Joey, I think if, you know, the conversation is going to be Lakers have the ability to just turn the, you know, flip the switch on, I'm now under the belief that now I got to see it. You know, now I want to see it in the playoffs in that first round. And if all of a sudden they start coming out and Anthony Davis is dominating like he did in a few of these games and LeBron just goes back to normal form and Lakers, let's just use the Portland Trailblazers as an example, win 4-1 and there's, you know, there's no question marks that, yeah, that's the number one seed. You almost want to see that now because they have we're so far removed from what they accomplished back in March. And the roster is not even the same of what they accomplished in March. Avery Bradley's not even in the starting lineup, so your starting lineup has changed. So there's so many factors that go into what the Lakers accomplished in the past to get the number one seed and the fact that they're sitting at the number one seed right now. So I think I got questions, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, I've already made this. I keep kind of continuing to harp on this. I've said a few different times, bring on the Portland Trailblazers in the first round. I think it could be a good ramp up for the Lakers. It will kind of wake them up a little bit. But at the same time, I definitely have some questions. I mean, I think I have more questions now than before the bubble started.
Yeah, you know, man, I got to agree with you in that regard. There definitely are more questions. We saw this Lakers team last when they were beating Milwaukee. They were beating the Clippers, you know, a recent win over Boston in that end of February, early March, before the season shut down. And we kind of crystallized that as what this team is for those 4 months where there were no basketball. Now all of a sudden we're seeing a team that doesn't necessarily look like that right now. Actually, let me rephrase that. It does not look like that right
it
now.
It does not. You're right.
And so now next week we are going to figure out, okay, well, what is closer to the truth? Now, the one thing that I do know is the Lakers still have LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Sure.
And those are two guys who are more likely than not going to make first-team All-NBA. And so that, as your starting block, I think that you automatically have to feel that the Lakers, whether you are worried about them or not, they are better than they have been playing in this restart, just by the virtue of having LeBron and AD. Now, does that mean that things are going to flip back to normal and that they're going to be running over whoever that first-round opponent is, whether it's Portland or Phoenix or Memphis or whomever? Not necessarily, but I think it does point to this team has a duo that I think, at least in my opinion, and I'm sure many others' opinions, will match up with any other duo in the NBA and either exceed them or meet them toe-to-toe.
Mm-hmm. Joey Ramirez joining Lakers Talk. Joey, I don't want to just kind of jump around here, but I was mentioning this a little bit earlier in the show. Lakers could have – I think I have to correct myself every time I say this. Lakers would have the toughest road to win an NBA championship, I think, of any team in the NBA. So just think of this, okay? Portland potentially in the first round. Let's say Portland comes in. That's not a number 8 seed. You know, you shouldn't be rewarded. If you're number 1 in the West, you shouldn't be rewarded with Damian Lillard and, you know, obviously his talent and everybody else on the Blazers. It would go Blazers, most likely the Rockets in the second, you know, in the second round. Denver and Clippers look like they'd face each other in the second round. So Lakers and the Rockets. So you go Portland, Houston, Clippers, and then let's say Bucks or Toronto or one of those other teams that come out in the Eastern Conference. That's quite the – if the Lakers, let's say they win a championship this year, no one's going to say they didn't earn it. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely. And you can say that about any team in the West. I think this Western Conference – might be the most stacked conference that I've ever seen. Now, Alan, I'm a little younger than you, so maybe you have a year that stands out to you that's not really standing out to me, but just 1 through 8, mm-hmm. and really even past 8. Like, these teams that are heating up before bubble, some of them are going to get left out. Those teams are great teams as well, or at least, at the very least, dangerous teams.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking 1 through 8, you got guys like LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Damian Lillard, Luka Doncic, and that's only a fraction of the superstars on just this side of the bracket, in just this conference. And all of those guys, and hey, it might be a little early to put Luka up there, I get that, but all of those guys are projected to be Hall of Fame-type talents.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all going to be going at it in just this conference, never mind the fact that Giannis and the Bucks are out there, or the Raptors are out there, or all these other Eastern Conference teams, all of a sudden T.J. Warren's playing like a Hall of Famer for the Pacers. So I think that no matter who gets through this Western Conference, they are going to be a true tested Western Conference champion.
Sure.
And whether that is the Lakers or whether that is a team having to go through the Lakers, it's going to be a bloodbath. I'm looking forward to it just as a basketball junkie. But I think we're going to look back on this year specifically and say, this was a crazy year on so many levels, including the fact that the season just shut down for 4 months and we relocated out to Orlando. And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, by the way, it was arguably one of the most talented playoff runs, playoff kind of melees in the history of this league. So just as a Hoops fan, between you and me, man, I think that we are going to look back on this year with some real respect to whoever comes out of the West in particular, and then, of course, whoever wins it all.
Joey, final one for you. Yesterday, Kuz got a chance to be in the starting lineup, and I know that was most to do because KCP didn't play. Do you think Kuz will get more opportunities in the starting lineup? Do you like that idea? Do you like that concept? Or do you think having him come off the bench is more resourceful for the Lakers? And then also, come postseason, what are some of your expectations for Kuz?
Yeah, you know, I think it kind of depends on the matchup, Alan. I think I like that Kuz gives the Lakers some added size. Not that they weren't already big playing, you know, AD and JaVale in the front court to start the game. But then you add Kuz and LeBron. That kind of gives you that jumbo size lineup that I really like. And I think that in certain matchups, like a Denver maybe, that can be really a really valuable weapon for the Lakers. Now, maybe if you're playing Houston or something like that, where they're just throwing guard after guard after guard at you, and sometimes they're playing five guards on the court at once, I think maybe then you have to go to the guard well yourself and say, all right, KCP, we need you to be tailing guys around screens, but we need you to be on your game against the James Harden. But then to ladder it back to Kuz, Allen, I think expectations are pretty high for him right now. And I think in these 3 years that we've known Kuz, it's always kind of been one or the other. It's always been either people are expecting him to be the scorer or they're expecting him to be Kuz, the guy who does everything else. And we've seen both of those guys this season at different points. We've seen him score. The Lakers are actually 11-2 this season when he scores at least 18 points. So that shows that when he scores, the Lakers win. And then we've seen him be that other guy who, you know, whether it's hitting the glass or defending, you know, a big wing on the other side of on the other team's roster, he can do those little things as well. I think the playoffs, we're really going to need to see him, at least for stretches, put those two together. And I think we saw that against Denver last night where, of course, you know, he had the big game as a scorer. He was hitting his threes. He's been getting to the cup lately. But he was also doing those things on the other side of the floor where he is getting a steal and then getting out into transition all by himself, not looking for LeBron. It's, hey, I'm picking this guy's pocket and I'm taking this ball 94 feet myself. So when Kuz does put those two things together, the Lakers are hard to beat. I think that LeBron's going to – come playoff time, LeBron's going to bring it. He is the most playoff-tested player in NBA history. He has the most playoff points. He is top five in pretty much every playoff statistic. Anthony Davis, I'm looking at his playoff numbers right now, 13 career playoff games, averaged 31 points and 13 rebounds. That dude, I expect him to bring it. What is going to be the X factors for the Lakers are going to be Kyle Kuzma. What does he bring both as a scorer and everything else? Who fills Avery Bradley's defensive role? And do the shooters come alive? Because that has been the biggest reason for the Lakers' cold start out there in Orlando right now.
Joey, great stuff, my man. I'm looking forward to the next, you know, obviously a couple of months, but it all starts, I think, 1 week from yesterday is when the postseason will start. Actually, Saturday and Sunday to just get a chance to watch this playing tournament. So I know you and I will be locked on that. Thank you for doing this, man. Appreciate you joining the show.
Anytime, Alan. Appreciate you, man.
All right, that's Joey Ramirez right there. When we come back, I do want to take a look at the next couple of days, what it looks like in the NBA. So a number of games tomorrow, a number of games coming up on Thursday. They announce what time the Lakers are playing on Thursday. How about this? A 10:30 start for Los Angeles Lakers basketball, 10:30 in the morning. I'm going to be here doing the pregame show at 9 a.m. with Michael. Cup of Joe in my hand. So we'll talk about what we got coming up the next couple of days. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, thank you to our guests tonight, Anthony Slater, Joey Ramirez, always offering some great NBA content, also always offering some great Lakers content. Let me just kind of paint the picture for the next couple of days for the NBA. And the NBA, man, you want to just take a step back and just kind of appreciate a sport that's living up to the hype, the expectations, doing it in the safest way possible so far under all the circumstances. And I always knock on wood every time I say, you know, this is working out perfect and you can't ask for anything better. You never know. You know, we've got a chance to see over the last 6 months or so that COVID-19, anything can change at any time. But baseball actually kind of has a little bit of a streak going here. We'll knock on wood there as well that things, at least so far for the last week or so, has gone pretty well. But the NBA, this is what they got coming up. So Pacers and Rockets tomorrow, Raptors and Sixers, Heat and Thunder, Clippers and the Nuggets. Now you're starting to get to the point where if you look at the standings, Clippers are locked in. They're staying at the number two. Denver, I think because Houston lost today, just locked up their position. So it looks like Denver will stay at the number three spot. Houston is sitting at the four, and it doesn't look like, you know, the furthest they can move is five. So really you're looking at something that's not going to be that impactful, because if the Lakers, when they get to the second round, they'd most likely face the Houston Rockets. So you're starting to see things kind of develop, and you're starting to see things start to solidify in the Western Conference. You're definitely starting to see things solidify in the Western Conference. In the East, pretty much the same picture. Miami, Indiana, and Philadelphia they're not completely locked in 4, 5, and 6 yet, but Philly most likely is going to stay in 6, which means they'll face Boston. Milwaukee and Toronto have their positions. By the way, what the hell was Giannis Antetokounmpo doing today? He headbutted Mo Wagner. You guys will get a chance to see the highlights. If you guys watch SportsCenter or anything like that, you'll see him tonight. That's not a smart move. We'll see if he's suspended for any playoff games that are coming up. But now that we kind of getting more of a scope, the only question mark left in the NBA schedule, all the teams that still have a shot at that number eight spot, they played today. And all those teams will play again on Thursday. So there's so much curiosity from Laker fans right now to look at the NBA schedule and say, who the hell are we going to play in the number eight spot? Well, we're not going to know even by the time Thursday's done. Potentially the earliest we would know is Saturday, because that's when the play-in game is going to be. And then at the latest we're going to know is on Sunday, because if the number nine beats the number eight, then all of a sudden that play-in tournament will go to Sunday, and then the winner of that game would determine who the Lakers will play in the first round. But this is what we do have coming up on Thursday, which is going to be a big part of determining what team is in and what team is not in. The Bucks and the Grizzlies face each other on Thursday. Now, Giannis probably doesn't play in that game, number one, because there's no reason for him to, but number two, it's because he headbutted somebody in their game today against the Washington Wizards, so there's a good chance he won't be playing in that game. So the Grizzlies still, after all this, losing 6 of 7 games in the Orlando bubble, still have a chance to play in that play-in tournament coming up this weekend. So keep an eye out for that game on Thursday. Mavericks and the Suns. Phoenix just trying to win, and then they're going to need some help. And the help that they would need is the Bucks beat the Memphis Grizzlies. Then they got a shot at that play-in tournament. Spurs and the Jazz. If Spurs win, then they'll need some help as well from other teams losing for them to get in. And then Blazers will play the Brooklyn Nets. If they win that game, they solidify themselves not even as a number nine, they solidify themselves as a number eight, which means all they have to do then in that case is win one game. They're locked in. Lakers, Portland, some point next week, probably a week from today, playoffs will be starting round one. So that's what's still left in the NBA. All these storylines that we had prior to the NBA coming back, all the storylines that we've had throughout this regular season. And now you can add this another, you know, obviously another layer to it. This number eight seed and everybody fighting for number eight still has four teams potentially that the Lakers can play in the first round. Do I have a preference? part of me wants to see the Portland Trailblazers. That's my honest truth. Part of me wants to see the Portland Trailblazers. Listen, if we didn't get Portland in the first round, okay, that's all right. If it's a layup of the Memphis Grizzlies in the first round, then, you know, Lakers wake up, start getting back into some type of rhythm, and you could potentially do that in the first round. The Phoenix Suns, San Antonio Spurs, yes, that'd be interesting. Spurs, Greg Popovich, I know not too many, you don't spend so much time talking about a head coach as that's who you're basically going to be facing, but the matchup is the Portland Trailblazers. If it's the Lakers and the Blazers in round one, you know, we're up for a heavyweight fight, and there's no wasting time of getting that your second round or your third round. No, you might get that right out the gate in the first round, and then get another heavyweight fight in the second round versus the Houston Rockets, and then you might get the toughest opponent in the entire NBA, which is the Los Angeles Clippers. Have you guys noticed this, by the way, over the last 2 weeks or so? Everyone jumping off the Los Angeles Lakers bandwagon. Everyone is. You know where they're all going? They're all going to the Los Angeles Clippers bandwagon. They are. That's basically what's happened over these last couple of weeks. You go watch First Take and go hear what Max Kellerman has to say and Jay Williams and Richard Jefferson and Jalen Rose. The popular pick right now has all shifted to the Los Angeles Clippers. You know, I sit back and I talk about how the Lakers are just going to have to flip that switch. And that's kind of the predicament that the Lakers are in now, just trying to get through these the regular season. Clippers took that to another level. I mean, Clippers, Montrezl Harrell is just back in the bubble now. We know about Lou Williams, his situation. Patrick Beverley had some nagging injuries. He hasn't played in each one of these games. Kawhi didn't play in a game. Paul, you know, they've mixed and matched a lot of their players, and their thought process is, yeah, you just get us to the postseason, and then we'll handle it from here. That is a matchup that is just built for the Western Conference Finals, Lakers and the Clippers. But I wonder if all of a sudden the Lakers, who are no longer the favorite to win an NBA championship, I wonder if part of that can be, you know, part of that can help the Lakers, that all of a sudden nobody's really picked. I wonder if that gets under the Lakers' skin, that here you are, the number one record in the Western Conference, and now all of a sudden not that many people are talking about you. I wonder how much impact that's going to have for the Lakers, but it really has been the talk. The talk's been the Clippers. Yesterday I was doing a few of my, or last week I was doing a few of my shows, and every time, you know, I would go and I'd listen to First Take or I'd listen to Get Up, typically they're going to talk something about the Los Angeles Lakers. More of the conversation was, yeah, I take the Clippers in seven. I'll take the Bucks in seven. And that was typically the conversation about, actually, most of the conversation was Lakers. They didn't think they'd come out of the Western Conference. So it's all meaningless. None of it means anything. At the end of the day, Lakers will get their opportunity in the postseason. They'll obviously have a lot to prove. All right, final thoughts coming up next. Plus, started the show off with this, and I just want to give the expectation for the Lakers, or really just kind of the thought process, just one more game left for the Lakers, and then the postseason begins. So my perspective on what the Lakers have accomplished so far inside the Orlando bubble, and obviously where they have to be by the time the postseason starts, and we don't have that much time left. So all that coming up next. Stay right here. Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN. All right, quick shout out here real quick. Thank you to the Wallace Firm, partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. If you have suffered a serious loss, the Wallace Firm are the serious lawyers to get you the W. No win, no fee. Call my guy Brad Wallace at the Wallace Firm at 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. We appreciate their partnership. All right, so this is the, you know, Thursday will be the end of this regular season. And we're going to finally get to what we're all been, you know, what we've all been waiting for. And frankly, it seems like what the Lakers have been waiting for. A lot of the players, probably not the coaching staff, but definitely the players, you can tell they're just kind of going through the motions to get to the postseason. So far, with just one game left, I think I have – I'll take away from this this regular season, just trying to be as objective as possible, have not been that impressed with the Lakers. And, you know, I don't really see that there's probably many Laker fans out there that are walking out of this bubble or walking through the regular season saying, oh, that's the best basketball I've seen all year, or this is as good as it's going to get. You know, obviously that hasn't been the case so far. And I know there's this balance here of trying to figure out, you locked up the number one seed, so how much do you really, really want to put out there on a night-in, night-out basis? And also this balance of getting your rhythm back, getting your your breath under you, getting some type of momentum as you head into the postseason. That's a big question mark. I think that comes with sports just in general. You want, you know, they always say this, and I think football is always the best example. You don't have to be the best team. You got to be the healthiest and the hottest at the right time. How many times have we seen that in the NFL? How many times have we seen that in baseball? NBA, it's a little bit different because you got a 7-game set. Ultimately, the better team is going to win. But I think for the Lakers, their momentum is going to have to come in the postseason. So if they're going to become that hottest team that I'm referring to, it obviously is not happening in the regular season. Obviously, what they accomplished over these 8 games, seven of them they've already played with one more left, and you got the Sacramento Kings coming up this Thursday. It's a 10:30 start, pregame show at 9 o'clock. Accomplishing what they accomplished in these 8 games, I walked away with more questions. I think I had probably more confidence before the bubble started about the Lakers, where now, you know, I am starting to ask myself, damn, you know what? Missing Avery Bradley, that is big time. Man, we got to get Rondo back, so at least we got somebody, a playmaker, that can set up some of these guys or just be a quarterback for the bench unit. AD, you've looked fantastic in some of these games, but you can't have, you know, a game off here or there. I have had more question marks coming out of the regular season games than I did before the regular season games got restarted. Now, how much does that change my confidence to go out there and go win an NBA championship? It just becomes one of those where the Lakers are just going to go have to make it happen. I mean, that's where I think you're going to start convincing, you know, whatever fans that are out there that are got their, let's say, their hand up in the air saying, I don't know what to expect tomorrow, or they have some question marks about the starting lineup or the last 5 players that are going to, you know, be on the court once it's all said and done. I think that's part of the process here, that it's just going to now have to happen in the postseason. If we get Portland in the first round, hypothetically, everybody's thinking that is going to happen, then you got a Blazers team that's been playing in the postseason now for 7 straight games, 8 straight games. And you have a team that kind of have approached, first of all, they've beat teams that are already playoff teams. I'm talking about they've beat Houston. They've took care of business. I think it was against Denver. They also took care of Dallas. I mean, they've played some, you know, some good postseason, some good playoff teams. But you're also going to be playing a team that every single game has meant everything to them, where for the Lakers, that hasn't necessarily been the case. And we've seen, look, we it's okay to be objective on this. We've seen some inconsistency on both sides of the ball for the Lakers. So offensively and defensively, the Lakers have struggled. And when I talk about, you know, the lineup, I took some calls a little bit earlier today, and I asked Laker fans out there, what do you think of Kuz in the starting lineup? Should the Lakers take a chance and start throwing Kuz in that lineup? And the question just came up simply because this is the first time, you know, Kuzma has been thrown in that starting lineup, I think, with LeBron and Anthony Davis. I don't remember the last time he's been in there. KCP was out yesterday, and Kuz delivered for the Lakers yesterday. Is that something that we want to see on a regular basis? Just even proposing that question, that you're not 100% sure what the starting lineup is, I think it's fair to bring up some of those questions. Okay, so one of the things I want to shift to real quick, and I think there's going to be this is going to be the chatter over the next, you know, certainly over the next couple of weeks, is as we look at all these NBA teams and we look at the success that the NBA is having and we look at the amount of interest that's going to the NBA right now in this regular season, once we get to the postseason, that's going to be a whole nother level. And I know for me, just being an NBA fan and everybody else that tunes into this broadcast, we're all big NBA fans. It's going to be an exciting couple of months. Let's put it that way. Couple of weeks because you got the first round, and then couple of months because, you know, the hope is that obviously Lakers are going on a long run. Couple things I want to promote real quick. So tomorrow I got the Sliwa Show. So Sliwa Show coming up tomorrow, 6:30 to 9. Thursday is a little bit unique of a day. Thursday is unique because we got the Lakers pregame show starting at 9 a.m. And then at 10:30, we got Lakers tip-off against the Sacramento Kings. I'll do postgame show after that. And then I'll hang around for a couple hours. And then I got Sliwa Show, 6:30 to 9. So a lot of Sliwa on Thursday if you guys want to tune in. By the way, that'll be the final Sliwa Show. And then all the focus will just be on pregame show, postgame show, and then obviously Lakers talk as well. But Lakers talk is going to continue as is. We typically do Lakers talk every Monday night, but if Lakers have a game on Monday, then we move it to Tuesday. So, obviously something to keep in mind as far as when Lakers talk goes. As for the final game for the Lakers coming up on Thursday, I don't know what players they're going to play. Lakers are going to have a press. They usually do a Zoom call. They didn't do one today, so they didn't have any media availability. But I'm pretty sure they'll have one tomorrow. If they have one tomorrow, then we'll most likely get a chance to hear from a couple of the players. We'll also get a chance to hear from head coach Frank Vogel. I'm not sure how they're going to approach this final game. Would you be surprised in a game that is so meaningless? Meaningless for the Lakers and meaningless for the Sacramento Kings. Would you be surprised if the Lakers don't play LeBron, don't play Anthony Davis, maybe don't play Kuzma? I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Lakers, you know, obviously do that. So I think we should get a lot of answers coming up tomorrow on that front. I think we should get a lot of answers on how coach is going to approach this final game. And then, you know, once they're done on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and most likely Monday, they'll have 4 days to prepare for the first round of the playoffs. And something that's so weird for the Lakers, you still don't even know who you're playing yet. You know, everybody's going to know who they're playing, the matchup that they have come Thursday. I think maybe by Friday the latest. But the Lakers are going to be the only team that is solidified in the playoffs that has absolutely no idea who they're going to play in the first round. I think we all think it's going to be the Portland Trail Blazers. And if it is the Portland Trail Blazers, I mean, think about the ratings that first round is going to get for Los Angeles Lakers basketball versus the Portland Trail Blazers. And, you know, Damian Lillard's been a problem for the Lakers in the past, and it's going to be no different. I think we get in the postseason. I have absolutely no idea who's going to guard LeBron James for the Portland Trail Blazers. You can put Carmelo on him, Zach Collins on him. I don't know what they're going to do on that front, but how they will be able to you know, obviously combat the Lakers is their backcourt. Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum, as good as it gets from two, some of the best shooters in the NBA, let's put it that way. But Damian Lillard, one of the best individual players in the NBA. Okay, so tomorrow, 6:30, Lakers the Sliwa Show from 6:30 to 9 o'clock. So just a reminder there. Thank you to Rebecca Womble for handling things here in the office. Thank you to Michael Funches for helping out as well. You could download the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. LA, have a great rest of your night.